In the middle of an otherwise empty field, a man wearing a backpack lies dead. There are no other clues visible. How did he die? Do you remember those puzzles? We used to tell them when I was a teenager around the campfire on camps. And the idea was one person would present the problem and then everybody else would ask yes-no questions until they found out the answer. And the answer was always simple. You thought it was complicated, but it was always simple. In this case, you needed to ask the right questions until you worked out that the backpack actually had a parachute inside that hadn't opened. So he jumped out of a parachute, didn't open, splat. Simple. Or what about this one? A man walks into a bar and asks the bartender for a glass of water. But the bartender takes out a gun, aims it at the man's head. The man says, "Thank you," turns around and walks out. It's very strange. Until you work out, you ask the right questions and find out that the man had hiccups and he wanted a glass of water to cure his hiccups. So the bartender scared him instead by pulling out a gun, cured his hiccups, and he walked out. Simple. Some people love these problems and they can't give up until they find the answer. But there's other people who just get annoyed and they walk away. It doesn't bother them at all that they don't solve the puzzle. And Jesus is doing exactly that with these parables. They're puzzles that have a simple point. But it's not obvious. And so you have to think. You have to ask questions and then work at it until it makes sense. And if you do, things will be clearer. But then there are other people who just see nonsense. And they walk away and they dismiss it. And things become less clear. It actually confirms them in their ignorance. Now that's a bit different from the way lots of people understand parables. They think of them as illustrations that explain things to people who don't understand. It actually makes things easier. But the surprising thing, as Jesus himself explains it, these are actually to hide things. If you like, they're more like a test to find out who really wants to listen. Or perhaps like a net that swings through a whole group of people and catches some, but lets others pass right through. It catches those who want to understand, but lets through those who don't. You can see that there in verse 10. The disciples come to Jesus and they ask, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" You see, that's what he's been doing. Back up in verse 1, you can see that he's teaching huge crowds down by the lake and there's this giant crush on. There's so many people, he actually is getting wet feet standing on the edge of the lake and he has to hop into a boat so he doesn't get submerged. Verse 3, we're told he tells them many things in parables. And there's some, like the disciples, who want to understand. They ask the questions. And Jesus says, verse 11, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom has been given to you, but not to them." Do you notice? There's two groups. There's one, like the disciples, who ask more questions. And as they do, as they think about it, God gives them knowledge about the kingdom of heaven as they think and they discover the secret. But then there's most of the crowds who are just there for entertainment value. They walk away at the end of the day and they move on and they think, "Oh, that was a fun day. I wonder what's for dinner." And that's the end. Two groups. And these parables, they work differently depending on which of those two groups you're in. Verse 12, Jesus says, describing the way the parables work, whoever has will be given more, and he'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You see, God's at work when you hear a parable. And that explains lots of things to those of us who have non-Christian friends, perhaps that we've been explaining things to for year after year after year. We tell them about Jesus, they seem to know all the facts, but they just don't get it. There's something that doesn't connect. It's like there's this big wall that's built up and there's something stopping it. That's because it's God who opens their ears. It's God who gives understanding and faith. Other people, it's like a switch just gets turned on and they suddenly, "Oh, that's what it means. Of course. How could I have been so blind?" So if God's at work, we need to keep praying that God will be working in our friends. So God is at work here in the teaching of Jesus as he delivers these parables. And these parables are just like a net, sweeps through that great crowd of people, and some get caught, like the disciples, and they want to know more. It's like an itch that they have to keep scratching. But then there are others that pass straight through the net. Jesus goes on to say that they're blind and deaf and dull. Verse 13, he says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand." It was just like that in Isaiah's time, Jesus goes on to say, 700 years before, Isaiah the prophet kept preaching God's message of repentance, but it just made the hearers harder. It didn't soften them. Verse 14, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes." You see, the more they heard, the deafer they got. It's a bit like listening to music that's too loud or having your earphones in too loud. The more you hear, the deafer you get. You've got support here, kids. Turn that music down. It's bad for you, Jesus says. But with the Israelites, the words that Isaiah spoke, it just made their hearts hard and calloused. It's like when you play guitar a lot. I've got two sets of hands, one that pushes down on metal strings and another one that just holds a little soft plastic pick. And the skin on these fingers, it's hard. It's calloused and it gets thick, and I can't feel as much through those fingers as I can on those fingers. And it was like that with the people in Isaiah's time, except not calloused fingers, they had calloused hearts that couldn't feel anything anymore. The message just toughened their hearts rather than made it soft. And Jesus says it's just like that in his time. Now, if you flip back a page to chapter 12, you can see the sorts of things that's been happening in Jesus' ministry. It begins in chapter 12, the Pharisees criticise Jesus and the disciples because they're eating a bit of grain on the Sabbath. Then they give him a hard time because he's been healing someone on the Sabbath. How dare you heal someone? And then they say that because Jesus casts out demons, because he's got authority over demons, well, he must be the prince of demons. And then, after all they've seen, they've got the arrogance to ask Jesus for a sign. Show us a sign. These are just the Israelites, just the sort of Israelites who've got hard, calloused hearts, who are deaf to God, despite being able to hear. And the crowd who are listening to Jesus, there's plenty who are just like that as well. And so this first parable of Jesus, this first one, is a parable about hearing. It's a parable about parables. It's a familiar one. If you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard it read quite a few times. Verse 3, there's a farmer who sows some seed. Perhaps Jesus, as he sits in a boat, he could even see a farmer up on the hillside from his boat. And the farmer, he takes a handful and he throws it out in one direction. And then he takes another handful and he flings it out in the other direction. And as he does, all of that seed lands in different places. Some of it lands right on the path. And the birds come along behind him and they eat it up. Some of it lands off in the corners where there's lots of rocks and not much soil. As time goes by, those plants, they grow up okay, but the roots have got nowhere to grow into. They've got no staying power, and so the plants just shrivel up on the first hot day of summer. Then there's other seed that lands along the edges, right near where the desert and the weeds will blow in from the desert. There's lots of soil there, but there's plenty of competition. And as the plants grow up, so do the weeds. And everyone knows that weeds grow easier than crops. It certainly works that way in my veggie garden. And the weeds choke the plants. But then there's the good soil. And if the farmer is any good at sowing, most of the seed he throws is going to land there. And we're told there's a rich harvest, 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. That's the story. And if you jump down to verse 18, Jesus explains what it means. he actually tells his disciples the secret about the kingdom of God. You see, God's kingdom begins with a message. It begins when people hear the call to live God's way, to turn from their sin. That's how they become part of his kingdom. And as that seed gets thrown out, people respond in different ways. Verse 19, there's some people, like Isaiah's time, who've got hard, calloused hearts. They do nothing. It doesn't sink in at all. Jesus says they don't understand it because Satan is at work snatching away the message. It's Satan who hardens people's attitudes, who changes events, who distracts their attention. Satan will do whatever it takes so that the message never connects with people. They're the seed that falls on the path, or they're the path that the seed falls on. Verse 20, some people, they love the idea that they can know the God who made them. And they accept it gladly, but it doesn't last because their roots don't sink down deep. There's only a surface commitment. As soon as some sort of difficulty arises, it all becomes too hard and they just give up. It might be sickness, it might be unemployment, it might be persecution. They're the rocky soil. Then verse 22, there's the thorny soil. These people, they accept the good news, fantastic. They can serve Jesus, wonderful, we can be forgiven. But as life goes on, good things in life just crowd out kingdom things. Family, it's a good thing. Work, it's a good thing. Sport, repairing the house, going on holidays, reading newspapers, entertainment. They're all good things. God's kingdom gradually slips down the list of priorities from number one until it's not even in the top 10. It's not normally a conscious decision from these sorts of people to stop living as a Christian. It's just that the kingdom becomes increasingly irrelevant for them. And the kingdom of self becomes more important. Three different types of people who haven't understood the secret about the kingdom. Three different groups of people who've had a little, but that little was taken away. That's what's going on all around Jesus as he spreads the seed about his kingdom. But the good news is that that's not everyone. For some people, like the disciples, the seed takes root and it grows deep and it grows strong. And Jesus says it produces fruit. The kingdom itself grows bigger. Firstly, individuals who grow, who give more and more of their life to living God's way. But not just individuals, more and more people who repent and believe. And it spreads, the kingdom spreads from person to person. It spreads from one family to another, from one country to another, from one language to another. Across borders and oceans, despite persecution and all sorts of obstacles. And the kingdom has been growing for 2,000 years since the time Jesus described it like that. And he talks about how the kingdom will keep on growing. The other parables talk, like verse 31, talk about the kingdom being like a tiny mustard seed that ends up growing into the biggest plant in the whole garden. From little things, big things grow. One man speaking about a kingdom grows into a worldwide movement. Or verse 33, the kingdom's like yeast. A tiny amount works its way through the whole bunch, the whole batch. It might take a while. You may not be able to see it, but it makes a huge difference in the end. The kingdom of God's like that. You can't always see it, but it changes everything. Well, verse 24, this parable is a bit different. It's got a sting in the tail. The kingdom grows like a crop of wheat. But an enemy comes and plants weeds through the field. As the crop grows, the two plants, they look similar. But when it comes time for harvest, the difference is obvious. One of the plants has heads of wheat and the other one doesn't. In verse 30, the weeds will be ripped out, bundled and thrown onto the fire, but the wheat will be gathered and stored in the barn. Jesus says the kingdom's like that. It's another puzzle for the disciples to think about. Are they listening? Are they seeing? And they work hard to understand. Down in verse 36, they're asking the questions because God is giving them the secret to the kingdom. And they come and ask Jesus to explain it. Verse 37, Jesus says, I'm sowing the message of the kingdom. That's the wheat, just like the first parable. And it begins to grow. There are people growing like Jesus. But then Satan plants different seed. And there's a different sort of growth. Sons of the evil one. And as life goes on, it's hard to tell the difference between the two, which is interesting, isn't it? It's describing life as we are living it today. Life between Jesus' first visit and his return. There are two different seeds growing, and it's hard to tell the difference. That's fascinating. Because it's saying as you look out at the world, two groups of people might be living very similar lives. Good, kind, acceptable lives. Caring for their families, paying their taxes, mowing their lawns, looking after their grandparents, making a contribution to society. They look pretty similar. But Jesus says one day, verse 40, the difference is going to be obvious. One day, on harvest day, judgment day, at the end of the age, Jesus is going to send his angels to weed out, to pick up this person and that person who's sinful and evil, he says. And they'll be thrown into the furnace of hell. But verse 43, the righteous, the wheat, says Jesus will shine like the sun. So two different groups. Which group are you in? If Jesus is right on this, then there's no question that matters more, is there? If Jesus is right, then it all depends on how you listen, which group you're in, on what type of soil you are, what you do with the message that Jesus brings. Do you see how Jesus concludes this section, verse 43? What do you do with this? He who has ears, everyone's got ears, let him hear. So there's the application. I don't have to go looking for it. Jesus gives it to you. Hear, listen. Listen well. Are you listening? If you don't understand at first, if things seem a bit puzzled, then ask questions. Keep searching. Read more. Ask more questions. Seek someone out. And let the roots of the gospel message dig down deep into your soil. Don't be rocky soil with shallow roots. Be good soil, soft and fertile and moist, not hard and calloused. Let the message about God's kingdom drill down into every part of your life. Make your heart soft and inviting. How do you do that? Make time, meditate on God's word. Listen to it through your headphones, not too loud though, because that might damage your hearing. Fill your head with God's words before you sleep. Fill them when you wake up. Make his words your treasure. Shine the light of his word into every dusty room in your life. Study it, read, concentrate, work hard, prioritise it. Buy yourself a library. Dust off those Christian books you bought but never got round to reading. Subscribe to a good Christian magazine or journal. Podcast a few good preachers. Mourn for your sin. Put pride to death. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Journal. Wear out your knees in prayer. Search out wise, godly voices who will speak the kingdom to you. Be humble and willing to listen and change. Listen often, speak little. Invite correction. Apologise quickly. Open up and share during prayer times. Form a prayer triplet. Meet for lunch to read the Bible with someone. Step out in faith in scary ways. Volunteer for a new ministry. Put yourself in situations where God can change you and teach you. And flip it over. If you want God's word to drill down deep into you, then don't let the world sow its messages into you. So many messages that seduce and attract and deceive us. Don't listen to those messages, because it's the evil one scattering those seeds. The evil one who says, well, a little bit won't hurt. The evil one who says, no one's going to find out. You deserve it. Everyone else is doing it. It's not wrong if it makes you happy. You're not hurting anyone. Rules are old-fashioned. They're seeds from the evil one. Don't listen to them. That's the way to be good soil. And what it all boils down to, I guess, if you want to be good soil for the seed of the gospel, it's about making Jesus your king in everything, keeping him number one. Why? Because as Luke started us off today, the kingdom is worth it. God's kingdom is valuable treasure. It's worth giving everything for. That's the point of those parables from verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and gave $10 and bought that field. Is that what it says? What does it say? In his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. That's the point of that parable. It's not about him being sneaky and buying a field under false pretenses, failure to disclose. That's not what it's about. It's about selling everything because of the joy in finding something. Verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for the finest pearl. When he found one of great value, he went away and spent $25 on it. No, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. That's what the kingdom's like. It's so valuable, it's worth your whole life. It's worth your reputation. It's worth your time and your energy. It's worth your job prospects, your family, your money, your influence, your comfort, your finances, your future. That's what the kingdom's worth. It's what Jesus is worth. Everything. The kingdom may look small at the moment, but it's growing. It's beautiful. It's good. It's joyful. It's making the world better. And you can be part of that beautiful, valuable, joyful growth. As God's word grows in you, you can produce fruit. 100, 60, and 30 times, Jesus said, you can produce people who are good soil as well. As you scatter the seed about God's kingdom. What an adventure that is. There's nothing more exciting than that. Won't you be part of that? Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, that's all of us, let him hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard that story lots, and in lots of ways, for many of us, I guess the temptation is for it to just wash over us. For us to say, yeah, heard that, know it. Lord, we confess that attitude, and we pray that you would make us good soil, that your word about your kingdom would soak down deep into us, that it might soften our hearts rather than harden them, that you might give us joy at being part of your kingdom, that we might willingly give everything for it because you are so valuable. We pray that your word and your spirit would be at work among us, making us a part of your kingdom which grows. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.